IVM.
Hello, welcome to The Origin of Things, or TOOT for short. A short format podcast where I give you the origins, the backstories, slightly dramatized but 100% true, of things that you know, love and use. I reveal what I'm talking about only at the very end, keeping you, the listener, guessing. Or so I hope. In the first two seasons, I've taken you through the stories that have led to some of your favorite brands and the unlikely stories and accidents that got us there. If there's a lesson from this podcast, let it be that great things can come from the most unexpected of places and even some mistakes. This season, however, I'm doing something different and focusing on music, the stories behind some of the most iconic songs that have ever existed. I am your host, Deepak Gopalakrishnan, or as the world calls me, Chuck. The origins of that for another day. Let's move on to today's story. Nothing in Peter's early years indicated that he'd pen some of the greatest songs of the 80s. Born in Warwickshire, he worked for the British Railways as a steam locomotive fireman. He loved his work there. He'd say in a later interview, "I loved every minute of it. The squalor was unreal, but the camaraderie was phenomenal." Then he would work at General Electric, and he also had stints as a coal miner and a gravedigger. Don't worry, we are not talking about a death metal song today. Somewhere along the largely industrial career, he decided to try his hand at music. Being inspired, as many at the time were, by the Beatles, and building credibility through a record collection made up largely of rare US imports. Eventually, his DJing skills were enough to help him make music his primary career. He would work in A&R, or Artists and Repertoire, that division of a record label responsible for finding and nurturing talent. Soon, he would continue moving up the ranks and in reputation, soon building his own company, acting as a producer and a songwriter. It was during this time that he wound up with an unlikely flatmate, Richard. He's kind of important to the story. Richard was born in a small town called Newton-le-Willows in Lancashire. Fun fact, in Railways Connect, it was the first place where anyone had been killed by a train. Again, we are not talking about a death metal song, I assure you. Richard started singing in a band called FBI. Among those who saw them in a local performance in the north of England was a woman called Gaynor, who happened to be visiting. She called up her boyfriend and told him that he should come check them out. Who was her boyfriend? Well, Peter, the A&R guy, of course. Peter then arrived in a flamboyant car and was impressed by what he saw. Well, not exactly very kicked about the rest of the band, but he thought that vocalist had potential. Great voice, great movement on stage. Something could possibly become of him. Peter eventually spoke to Richard and told him this. And he said, "I don't see you fronting a band. Come down to London. Let's try and work something out together." This arrangement was something that Richard actually wasn't kicked about, but eventually agreed. It was just too lucrative. Once in London, the young Richard was put through what could only be called artist boot camp. He hung around in the studio, learning the ropes of production, songwriting, professional music making and all that, and would often be called on to make and serve tea. Again, this man now has a song with a billion streams, but we'll get to that. He did make and serve tea. Part of the reason why Richard didn't get singing right away was because Peter, the sharp A&R guy that he is, didn't think Richard was just ready to hit the mic just yet. At the same time, he didn't want to let anyone else snap up what he thought was a good talent, so he would keep a watchful eye on him, including staying at his home. Now, when the time was right, after the grooming was done, Peter and his colleagues wondered how to launch their new talent. A cover song? No, he's got a voice too good for that. They tried various originals, but something just wasn't clicking. Peter and his songwriting partners tried really hard. At the time, 80s music was really all about dance, and Peter's former experience as a DJ really helped here. He'd often say things like, "I can't tell you why, but that bit's wrong." While Peter was racking his brains in the office trying to come up with a song for Richard, his personal life wasn't working out very well. He was having problems with Gaynor, you know, that very girlfriend who introduced Peter to Richard in the first place, and after a 3-hour phone conversation, was pretty despondent. Thankfully, Richard was his flatmate at the time and came to offer some words of encouragement and maybe some tea as well. The small exchange between Peter and Richard sparked off something inside Peter's head. The next day at work, things quickly started taking shape. The song would soon become ready and the young Richard was quickly given the melody and was asked to sing it. Then the track went through so many mixes, went through so many hands, and it eventually got forgotten. Until Boxing Day that year, when Peter was feeling bored at home, so he actually went to the studio and cranked out yet another version with Richard, and that was gold. It was the top of the UK chart for weeks, topped the charts in 25 countries, won several awards, and dare I say, acted as an albatross around Richard's neck for years. It was even played as part of a psychological campaign to convince the dictator Manuel Noriega to surrender during the US invasion of Panama in 1989. And this by itself should be enough of a story. A random talent discovered by a girlfriend of an A&R executive in the middle of nowhere, who would then nurture the boy but struggle to find the right song until he was inspired by something the talent would say following a long fight with that very girlfriend. But no, there's more. In fact, you could say that even with all those sales and chart figures of that song, the life of that song was just beginning. In fact, it would start only a good 20 years later, in the internet era. To be sure, the second life of the song has its origin in that corner of the internet that parents warn their kids about, 4chan. You see, before it became a hive of white supremacists, 4chan's most harmful work could just be harmless trolling and the birthing of internet memes. Once in a while, one such meme would often go mainstream. In one such meme that went beyond the hallowed halls of the site, users would often be redirected to something other than what they expected when they clicked a link. A sort of bait and switch, as it were. One such variant of this, which redirected to a very specific YouTube video, became so popular in 2008 that even brands and YouTube themselves got in on the act. In fact, on April Fool's Day in 2008, YouTube made several of his featured videos redirect to this very video. The video ended up giving new life to, and you've probably guessed this by now, the song that Peter wrote for Richard. But hey, old songs resurfacing in such a random manner happen all the time. Remember that time when Fleetwood Mac's Dreams became an unexpected Billboard chart entry in 2020 after TikToker was skateboarding and lip-syncing to it? No, what made this one special was that the joke endured and now, even now, a good 14 years after it first began as a joke, is still an integral part of internet culture. Even today, you could click a link thinking it was an important scientific document or the best bloody football goal that your friend has seen or a new product, only to be redirected to this song. And well, the prank has worked well enough for the song to accumulate 1.2 billion streams on YouTube at the time of writing this episode. You've probably guessed the song by now, and I guess I'll do an anti-Rick roll by not interrupting this episode with the song, but also because we don't have the rights for it. But that's another story. And so it is that a song that was written in 1986, became a huge hit in 1987, got a new lease of life in internet-fueled life randomly in 2008, and has stayed that way ever since. A song inspired by a small message that the singer told the distraught songwriter as he was speaking to his girlfriend. She's never gonna give you up. See you next week with another episode from The Origin of Things. And a huge prop to my wife and business partner Divya, who came up with the idea and initial draft for this episode. I'll probably never give you. If you like this podcast, don't forget to check out other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can listen to us and all our shows on the IVM Podcast app or ivmpodcast.com. You can also follow us on social media. We are at IVM Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. If you want to reach out to me, that's Chuck_Gopal on Twitter and Chuck of All Trades on Instagram. All links in the show notes of this episode. See you next week.